I like preaching every once in a while. I used to do it a lot. I like preaching every once in a while. And I never worry about what people will think about me, because normally you don't think about me. Is that right? And I tell people that a lot. I said, don't worry what people think about you, because normally they don't think about you. And so how many have really, I'm going to tell you, having done this for 40 some years, spoke, and one of the things I grew up with a bad speech impediment. And so the thing I hate the worst is speaking in front of people. And I spent my whole life doing it. And in college one time, I took an F instead of reading my paper. They required you come up and present your paper. And I took an F before I would stand up in front of the class and take a paper. So I thought it was very funny for God to call me to preach the majority of my life. But having done it for 40 years and watching Ben, isn't he doing an excellent job? I mean, he is really doing it. When I can sit on the front row and hear things I've never even, same stories I've heard for years and years and years, and not having seen that. How many know God's word is deep? There's just so much. One time, Brother Eccles, who was the older man I grew up under, he was 87 years old. He was up in Monroe. He was going to preach for Billy Hornsby, one of my buddies. And Billy said it got around 15 to 10, and Brother Eccles hadn't showed up yet. And he said he told the song, so go ahead and start. And he got in his car and went toward where the hotel was. About halfway to the hotel, there was Brother Eccles out on a fence post, sitting on the barbed wire fence post with the Bible in his hand, going, deep, man, this is deep, this is great. He said, Brother Eccles, I need you to come and, you know, preach. And so there's a lot to the depth of the Word of God. Ben's been preaching on boat stories. And so I've got one of my favorite boat stories. I told him I'd be glad to fill in. He's under the weather a little bit, and he'll be back rolling. I know to say this to you. You see him only on the stage, all of you at one time, but he works like a dog. Let me just say that. If you knew all the stuff that he does for the church and the school and the people, and he's a better pastor than I ever was in my life, and I really appreciate it. Okay, almost all the boat stories in the Bible are not sunny voyages where they're laying out on the deck drinking a lemonade. Most of the boat stories, as Ben said, are full of pain, chaos, storms raging, but they're there to help us and to teach us. So I want to talk to you about one of them, and Ben used it, but I want to use it a little bit different way, and it's Mark chapter 6, verse 41 through 52. And this is a story, let me just do this, because I want to talk to you about fear. And let me ask you a question. Does anybody in here have a fear about anything? Yeah. All right. When I was growing up, I had the fear of the back of the commode. I don't know why, but I was afraid of the back of the commode. So how many know I didn't spend a lot of time in the bathroom? I got in there, got out. Because, see, when I grew up, we grew up with an outhouse. How many of you had an outhouse? Let's see of you. There's a few of you. We didn't have indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse. We took our baths in a wash tub number two. And in Virginia in the wintertime, hallelujah. You know, it was, you really got woken up. And I remember one time one of my chickens fell into the outhouse, and my dad, for some reason, wouldn't get it out. So he died in the outhouse. And but when we got a house with plumbing, something happened. I don't know what it was, but I was terrified of the back of the commode. I didn't know what was in it. I never took the lid off. I was never going to take the lid off. And da da da. The second thing I was afraid of was the tag on my mattress. You know what? Because it said, you know what did it say? You remember what it said? Yeah, do not remove. My brother tore me. I'm going to tear it off and tell him you did it. I'm going to tear him off and tell him you did it. So he used to torment me as a little boy about that tag on that mattress. And you might have something along that line too, that fear does. And that's one of the, you know, every once in a while the devil will attack you with a fear that may be irrational. When I built my first home, I wasn't married. I pastored the church here 7 years unmarried. And I built my first home out in Central. And I loved Mexican tile, and Andy McDonald was a buddy of mine, and he got me some Mexican tile. And from the front door all the way down the hallway into the kitchen, into the dining area, was a beautiful Mexican tile. It was gorgeous. Well, then I met Jasmine, and we got married. And then within a year, we had our first little bundle was home with us. And as they began to walk, this fear gripped me and grabbed me about them falling. Because we used to have a bar, and we had one of those little, you know, it was a new thing where you could put that little thing on the bar and the kid could sit in it, you know, instead of having a high chair. Fear gripped me about them getting loose and falling back and busting their head on that Mexican tile floor. And so I went out, bought a half inch pad and carpeted that entire Mexican tile floor. You could have played basketball with those kids. I mean, you could have just. But I would wake up at night some nights, and I would just, you know how you wake up sometimes, and I'd just see them falling, busting their head. Well, I'm just confessing here. But Mark chapter 6 is a story of men who were seasoned sailors who fear gripped their lives. It came into their situation they were in. And the Bible says it grabbed them so hard that they cried out for fear. So I want to talk to you about four things that'll feed your fear. The four, I call it the four fear feeders, and I think it'll help today, and we'll do it. In Mark chapter 6, verse 41, it says, "And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and he broke the loaves and he gave them to his disciples set before them. And the two fishes divided among them all, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets of fragments of the fishes, and they ate the loaves, and were about 5,000 men." And like Ben said, like it could have been 10,000, it could have been 20,000 people total, we don't know. "Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst." How many know when you're in the middle, you're as far away from anything solid as you can be? That's as far away from anything you can put your feet on. "In the midst of the sea, and he alone." I'm going to tell you one thing. Jasmine just got back yesterday from overseas. She's been overseas. She tries to get me to go with her. You know one thing I started doing when I started flying overseas? About halfway through the Atlantic or the Pacific, I think, how deep is the ocean right here? I just kind of think about that. "And he saw them." He's now 3-4 miles away from them up on this mountain praying. "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up to them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened." Let's pray one more time. Father, one more time we pray. Open our hearts. Lord, this is not a novel that we're reading. This is not some book off a shelf that we're reading. It is your word. And Lord, unless you enlighten us, unless, Lord, open our hearts to receive, I pray, God, open our hearts that we can understand. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen today. Amen. Okay, the first one is this. The first thing that feeds your fear is this. Number one is contrary winds. The first thing that will really get fear into your life and open the door for fear to grab you is contrary winds. Verse 48 says this. "He saw them toiling and rowing, and the wind was contrary." Everybody say contrary. You ever had an animal that was contrary? You ever had an animal that was contrary? Or I grew up on a farm, and we had, you know, if they were too contrary, we ate them. Come on, somebody. And so we had them later. But contrary winds. And one of the keys is this was not a motorboat. They didn't have a Johnson, the big, you know, whatever back there, you know, twin rigs or three. This was a rowboat. And if the wind was contrary to them, that meant the waves were contrary to them. And they were rowing not for 30 minutes. They'd been rowing for hour after hour after hour after hour. You would think if God sent them, the least he could do is put the wind behind them. But the Bible says the wind was contrary to them. And one of the keys I've learned in my life is this. If you think you signed up for Christianity and whoever witnessed to you or shared with you or talked to you about it told you that this is going to be sitting on clouds and everything's going to be great, they lied to you. You ever seen the army recruiter back in the day, long before the internet ever came out? The army recruiter would recruit. Oh, it's a vacation. It's like vacation. You get to see the world. You get to go to this and that. You get to do all this, and they get you into boot camp, and you think, I signed up for the wrong army. I got in the wrong army. This is not the one they sold me. And one of the keys about Christianity is how it's presented sometimes is that somehow or another, that once you give your life to the Lord, that life is going to be so easy and so peaceful and no problems whatsoever. And that is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. The Bible says that winds were contrary. I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves. That means we present ourselves. We give proof of our ministry. He says, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles. Everybody say in troubles. In troubles, hardship, and distresses. Anybody been beaten lately? Mentally. Well, yeah, mentally. When I went to high school, we had a vice principal. He had a paddle. How many of you ever got paddled in school? There's a number of you. See, we don't do that no more. But he made you take your billfold out. Help me know when you need to take your billfold out of your back pocket. And you didn't want to tear up, but I'm going to tell you, oh, mercy. In beatings, imprisonments, in riots. Listen, this is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the one that God called and gave more knowledge than anyone else since Jesus. Just tremendous, wrote over, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament. And here's his life. I've been in beatings, imprisonment, riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love, in truthful speech, in the power of God, with weapons of the righteous in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report, good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, yet live on, beaten, yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything. Now, if you signed up for Christianity thinking it was this way or that way, you need to really read the Word of God truthfully, because there's a lot of miscommunication of what's really real. In Acts, look at Acts 14. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul. Anybody ever been stoned here? Some of you look like you've been stoned, but nobody's been stoned. And see, you remember when Paul said, I knew a man in Christ so many years ago that he was caught up into heaven and saw glories and saw things so great that he couldn't communicate it. Most people think that's when he was in a church service. He was just worshiping God. You know when it was? Right here when he got stoned. You know when he was caught up into heaven and saw unspeakable things? He was laying under a pile of stones, dead as a doornail. Because he said, in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Well, how many know when you get hit in the head with a stone, you kind of wonder. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. He said, but I know a man in Christ 14 years ago got caught up into heaven. This is when it happened. He came from Antioch, and they stoned Paul, dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up, stood up, went back to the city. The next day, Barnabas and left for Derbe. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. How many think you could probably listen to a man who got stoned, laying out there dead as a doornail? And he said, let me tell you something, how this life works. We're going to go through a lot of hardships. You're going to go through them. And if you know that, then when you have contrary winds, you know that he's promised us a safe landing. He's not promised us an easy journey. And so when you know that, and see, I've never thought, when in 2016, some of you flooded and some of you didn't flood. And there is no basis of thinking one had more faith than the other. Had nothing to do with that. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it speaks about those that by faith they did this, by faith they saw their dead raised, by faith they conquered cities, by faith. And it said others were tortured, others were cut in two, others by faith. And so when you live life, I never thought, you know, when we flooded and the whole church flooded, I didn't think, well, God, thank you. I just want to thank you for what you've done for me today. And I just thought, okay, another test, another hardship. I'm going to make it. I'm going to pull through this thing. I'll get to the other side. And so one of the big things about fear, if you let what happens to you, if you let contrary winds think, well, maybe I didn't hear him. Maybe he didn't say go across this. So maybe it wasn't him that put us in this. Maybe. And you start questioning your life. Maybe. You never let contrary winds tell you and let fear, if you begin to believe the contrary winds is your fault, then you begin to let fear into your life. The second thing they did was in Mark chapter 6, they considered not. The four, I call this the four C's. Contrary winds. Second one is considered not. This is the King James Version. For they considered not. Everybody say considered not. They considered not. Every miracle has a message to it. Every miracle that's ever happened in your life, God is teaching you something. A miracle is not for you to say, wow. It's to teach you something. It's to bring something into your life that will help you later on in life. The miracle of them sitting there watching this fantastic feeding of 5,000 men plus all the women and the children, probably 10 to 20,000. Was not that they go, wow, isn't God great, wow. It was to teach them something. It was supposed to enter their life and for them to consider it. And then to turn that into knowledge and wisdom of what God can do. But they didn't do it. And what allowed fear? They were talking about the wrong thing. I don't know what they were talking about. I don't know what they were, but I know what they were not talking about. They weren't talking about, you remember that miracle just happened 12 hours ago? Remember what a bad, horrible shape we were in? We didn't know how we'd feed these people. You remember that? That's not what they were talking about. Listen, whatever gets your attention gets you. I haul a lot of tractors. And I'm on the road quite a bit hauling tractors with big old long trailer. I'm going to tell you, you know how many cars almost hit me because the guy is watching my look. Next thing I know, get back in your lane. Because whatever gets your attention gets you. They teach race car drivers, never look at the wall. Because if you look, whatever you look at, you go that way. So they teach them, don't look at the wall. And so whatever gets your attention gets you. Whatever you see, and that's why iPhones and all that stuff, that's why some of that stuff is so addictive. It's like cocaine. It just grabs you. And then, you know, they learn your attention span is just so long. And then before you get out of it, you go the next one and then the next one. And you know how many hours it being now? Yeah. Whatever gets your attention gets you. So let me do, I don't know what they're talking about. I know what they were not talking about. Philippians 4 verse 8 says this. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good to repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So one of the most important things you can do, if you want fear out of your life, dwell on these things. What's true, what's honorable, what's right, what's pure, what's lovely, what's good repute, what's excellence, anything worthy of praise. And so they were rolling all right, but if we'd have had a tape recorder of what they were talking about. I wish we'd had a tape. You know what I found the other day? I found back in 19, 61 or 62, or I forgot how old, 60, something like, I found a cassette tape of our family that my mom and dad had hid on a Christmas morning, they bought a tape recorder, that was a big deal back in that day, and they start the recording, and then we had Christmas. And so I digitized it and I sent it to all my brothers and sisters. But it was us when we were about, I don't know, 8, 9 years old and talking and sharing. That's not a big deal to you that, you know, film every minute of your children now with, you know, digital things you can put on TV. But in that day, that was a big deal. And if we'd had a tape recorder back in then, you know, we would tape their, I don't know what they were talking about. They were not talking about what had just happened. They were not talking about the miracle. They were not talking about remember how scared we were. Remember how nervous we were. How are we going to feed this? And now he took that little, and he broke it. You remember when that head grew a tail and the tail grew a head? And then he broke another and the head grew a tail. You remember when he fed five and we had 12 baskets left. Oh man, God can do anything. They weren't talking about that. They considered not the miracle of the loaves and the fish. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. I remember the story one time, a woman had a canary and it would sing and sing and sing. And one day she's cleaning the bottom of the cage, you know how that, because you know, birds. And so she's got the vacuum cleaner, she's cleaning and her phone rang and she reached down to get it and she put the vacuum cleaner up just like that. And swallowed that canary. Call you back. Open the thing, pulls the canary out. Canary is full of, takes a hair blower, blows that canary off and puts it back on that perch. She never sang again. Come on, somebody. And you know what the devil's trying to do is steal your song. He's trying to suck you into something so big that you just, you know, just, you'll never sing again. They considered not, but here's what they considered not. They considered not, let me tell you two things they did not consider. Two things they considered not. They considered not his word or what God said. They didn't consider that because here's the big deal. They forgot his word. They forgot his word. They forgot what he said to them. It says he put them in a boat and he told them, go to the middle and drown. Is that what he said? He said, go to the other side. They didn't remember his word. And one of the worst things you'll ever do in your life is forget the word of God. Forget the word of God. I don't care what you're talking about. If the devil can get you not to remember the word of God. The Bible says Jesus gave the parable about the sower that went out to sow the word. And that the birds came and stole the word. And those were demonic spirits. See, what the devil tries to do is you'll go to lunch. They say, "What? I know he talked about something, but it was real good. I remember I laughed, but I got to remember what it is." Let me tell you something about your memory. Listen, a short pencil is better than a long memory any day. You need to write things down. And the older you get, the more you need to write. Come on, somebody. But you need to write things down. You need to write them down. You need to write them down. You know what I do? You ought to see, I've got a card by A.W. Tozer. I keep him up. And it's how to have a personal revival. And he's got 4 or 5 things. He lists, and I've got it written down on the card. I've got him a thing. You can do it digitally now. You can do it electronically. You can do all that. And I've always had the latest computer. I've always loved Apple, and I've done da-da-da-da. But I've still written everything out by hand. All my sermons are written by hand. Because if I do it on a computer, it's like it's not mine. That's just me. But somehow take stuff with you. Maybe type it. Take it with you and remember his word. Always remember his word. He said other side, other side. And then the other thing they considered not was his wonder. They forgot what he did. They forgot his word. They forgot his wonder. Because they considered not, I always said this, it had only been 12 hours since they'd participated. Not just watched, participated. In the greatest miracle ever on the face of the earth at that point. Few fishes, a few loaves of bread, fed 10 or 20,000 people. We could use that on Wednesday nights. Come on, somebody. Fed all those people. And I always said this, they still had it in their teeth. They could have rubbed their tongue over the fragments in their teeth. Piece of bread, piece of fish. But they considered not. They considered not his wonder. They didn't remember what he had done. They didn't do that. You know, one of the great things about David. David, when he went in the camp with his brothers and he heard Goliath, and the Bible says he stood there. And let me tell you what happened. I used to be younger, I could jump up. Now I can only jump down. I'm gonna jump down. I can't jump back up. But David is standing there looking at this giant. And you read the Bible because it says first time he was out there, he ran with everybody else when they ran away. But something happened to David. He did something that you need to do in your life. Because he had a museum. Let me call it. He had a museum. And in his mind, he had a museum in his mind. And every once in a while, he'd walk in that museum and he would look up at stuff. And there on the wall would be the head of a lion. There on the wall would be the head of a bear. And no telling whatever, because he would walk down the museum of his memory of the things that God had done for him. And he would remember how great God was and what God had done when it was impossible. And God had done that for him. And so the Bible says he stood there when everybody else had run, and he ran with them the first time. He started walking down his memory, and he goes up and he talks to Saul, the king, and says, "Let no man's heart fail him, for I will fight this Philistine." And he says, "Who are you? What can you do?" And he says, "Oh, I've been walking down my memory of the things God's done for me." And he said, "I remember when I was out at night, I was just a young teenage boy, and a bear came and I slew him. And I remember when a lion came and I slew him." And he remembered what God had used and how God had used him and what he had done. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that Saul was so convinced. Because listen, this was a big thing for Saul to allow him to do this. Because if David got killed, they were all in trouble. They had to submit to the Philistines. And sometimes how many somebody's enthusiasm just gets you? Somebody's enthusiasm. You know, one of the things is we got a cheerleader over here on this side. How many are doing worship? He just encourages us all. Doesn't he do it? And that's a gift. And David had that enthusiasm because he remembered. You know, back in 2016, I'll never forget it. I was standing out in the back of the parking lot here, and we had 4.5 feet of water just over this whole complex. And what you didn't know was about a week, maybe less than a week, 4 or 5 days before, I had decided to empty our bank accounts and try to pay off our note. And we had had $200,000 saved up, somebody had given us as a thing, and I was waiting. And we were within just like 10 or 15,000 of needing that. And so I emptied everything we had out of our bank accounts and paid off our note. And I'm standing back there and I'm thinking, I think I'm in trouble. And then this is what happened in my heart. How many of you have seen Ratatouille? You saw the movie Ratatouille. You remember when the critic eats that, whatever it is, and he goes, Mama is cooking. My mind went back to when I was 19 years old. I was standing back there. My mind went back to when I was 19 years old. And I remember I worked for the state of Louisiana. How many know, you that work for the state, how many know you don't make a lot of money? I think I made 400 and some bucks a month back then. And I was a week away from getting my next paycheck. And I had food, but I didn't have any money. I had like $3 left in my name. And they were gonna have the pastor at the church at that time, Randy, they were gonna have a birthday party for him. And this was Friday. I was at work. I'd come home. And they were going to have a birthday party for him on Saturday. And I wanted so bad to go to the birthday party. But I didn't have any money to buy a present. And I remember sitting there, and I remember there was a couple people there, and I said, Lord, Lord, can you bless me? Lord, somehow, miraculously, would you bless me? I'll never forget, I'm standing there, and we had these mailboxes where you go out and you get your mail at the apartments where I was at. And I opened that mailbox, and there was my state of Louisiana refund. $41, come on, somebody. But guess what $41 will do? And I sat back there in 2016 in 4.5 feet of water, and I remembered. And I said, God, thank you. You brought me through then. You're going to bring us through this. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a good clap on. Isn't that good? Isn't God good? So you ought to make yourself a museum, a memory museum of all the things God has done for you. I found a tape the other day. I was going through my, how many know when you get in a cleaning mood, you got to do it right then or, it's done. You'll never clean up. I got in a cleaning mood and I started cleaning. And I found in 1980, I gave my testimony here. I take it over as pastor in 79. In 1980, somewhere on a Sunday night, I gave my testimony. I heard things. I'd forgotten all those things. So I've been writing those things down. I did a good job. I just wrote them all down. So you got to remember and you got to put that in your hand. I like Philippians 4 that Jimmy quoted this morning. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious, fearful, worrisome. Be anxious for nothing. Okay, how can I replace my fear? How can I replace my worry? How can I replace my anxiety? Well, you do it by prayer and supplication with, if you don't add this part right here in to your prayer time, you'll come out of your prayer worse than when you went in. What do you mean? Oh God, would you help, Lord, the bank is coming. Oh, the bank is coming. Oh God, help and if all you do is recall the problems, right. You come out of your prayer time. But thanksgiving is, God, thank you for 19 years old. You gave me that check. Oh, God, thank you for that. And if you add thanksgiving into your prayer time, it will do it. Everybody say amen one more time. Number three, let's go ahead and get it finished. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 45, straightway he constrained. Everybody say constrained. Now, get the picture. He had to make them get in a boat. They didn't want to get in a boat. Want to get in a boat? We don't go to the other side. You know why? Because they just witnessed the greatest miracle they'd ever seen in their lives. And everybody was enthused. The crowd was, you had the crowd in the palm of your hand. Good message, fed them up. Miracle happened. The buzz is happening. You know, sometimes you got to learn this. His ways really are above our ways. Amen. He does reveal to us, but listen, they had mixed motives in following Jesus. And there's a number of Christians that become Christians, but we still live with mixed motives of our life. You know, you read the Bible, these guys were unbelievable. They would argue about who was the greatest. When he's on his way to the cross, what are you talking about? They know the word. He said, and he brought the little child and said, if you want to be the greatest, be the servant. The mama came and said, my two boys sit on the left and I want them right there next. I want a great position. There was a lot of mixed motives. You've got to learn in life. You know, I've done a lot of funerals. Let me tell you something about I've done a lot of funerals. And I've never looked and come to the casket. I've never looked and they've never looked fearful. So listen, when I die one day, and I hope you'll come to my funeral on that day, I want you to come and see if I look fearful when they got me up there. I'm sitting there. You know why? Because a dead man's not afraid. And when you die to your ambitions, to your desires, to your ways, fear leaves your life. One time I had a dream. And I remember I looked up in the heavens. I was going through college, only went through a year of electrical engineering. But I was really good at numbers. And I looked up heavens one time and I saw this number and it had a big decimal point. And I remember in my dream, I was thinking, if I can just get rid of that decimal point, this number could be so big. But this decimal point is limiting me. And then somehow in my mind, I knew that was fear. That was fear. And fear will limit you. It will stop you from growing. And so the Bible says he had to constrain them. They didn't want to get in the boat. The love of other things, on and on. And so I've learned that. Has the Lord ever had to constrain you to do something? Has he ever had to constrain you to do something? You ever had to go back and apologize? And the Lord was constraining you. I told you one time I remember I had, there was a guy come, he wanted help. We helped him. And we used to help so many people that Demco used to send people to us. I said, how do you know to come to our church for help? Demco said, come see you. I said, really? And I was young, I learned better. Now I say, okay, I will help you. Come on, we got a job, we got a lot of work. Oh, I don't want to work. I said, well, you don't get money unless you want to work. And so we da da da. So I lied. I remember I lied to one of my leaders one time. I lied. I was helping somebody and I recommended them and they called me. And at the moment I said, no, I didn't say that. It was a lie. As soon as I hung up the phone, I remember I told you, my old pastor used to tell me, it's easier to sleep with a wet dog than a guilty conscience. So I said, I need to, and I reached for the phone. I'll never forget this. And the Lord said, oh, no. You drive to their house and do it. How many know that drive was a weighty drive? So I get there, and it's a big family. They're all together. I said, I need to say something. And I said, can we go? No, stay right here. So I did. How many know the ride back was a lot easier than the ride out? And the Lord has to constrain you at times to do things. And so, you know, how many know next time I felt compelled to lie, I didn't lie. Come on, somebody. It'll help you do that. And then the last one, let me end up real quick. The Bible says they cried out. So the contrary winds and considered not, and so the last one is, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Now this is seasoned sailors. In the break in the clouds, back in 2016, we were upstairs in that room. You know, we were flooded. We were stuck here. And you couldn't see nothing until it lightened. You know, when it would lighten, and I'd say, oh, there goes all my cars under. There goes, you know, all my da-da. And so they're out there on this sea. It's the fourth watch of the night, which is the darkest part of the night. It's storming. The wind's against them. The waves are against them. And you can't see nothing until it lightens. Boom! And they... Do you see something? I don't know. Do you see something? I didn't see. And then the Bible says they all look in that way. And then when the next lightning strikes, the Bible says they cried out with fear. Grabbed them. And they saw it. And the funny part, I was in Israel one time and I was talking to a rabbi and he said, he had gotten saved. And he was so funny because we were talking about this story. He said, oh yeah, in that day, here was the sailor's motto was, if you're out on the sea and you're going to sink and die, then the spirits of those that had died before will rise to the surface and walk on the face of the water and you will see them. that was the going story in that day. Now, can you imagine if we could have seen them, a bolt of lightning, they're looking that way. There's a spirit walking on the water. And I can tell you that boat probably, because they all were backed up in one end of the boat, you know, and the boat was probably standing like that, screaming for their lives. And I love this because one of the keys is, if you want fear to come into your life, you got to know this. Before it's over with, something will come into your life that will totally unnerve you. Totally unnerve you. Hit you out of the blue. Hit you from, you know, you'll hear old wives' tales about this or that. and something will come into your life that will hit you out of the blue. And they cried out for fear. But listen. What they didn't know was the very thing that was so unnerving them was the very thing they'd wanted all night long. Just came in a form they didn't understand. It came in a way they weren't expecting. And I love this because the very thing he was walking on was the thing that was scaring them, that they were going to go under the water. He was teaching as he was walking. I'm master over what the thing it is that's causing you fear. You're going to go down. You can't handle it. And so he's teaching as he's walking. And the Bible says, I don't know what it is. I love Genesis 40. One last scripture says, the father Jacob said to them, you've deprived me of my children. Remember the story? Decades before Joseph, they'd throw him in a pit, put blood on a coat of many colors, told daddy he was dead. How many of you got to go pretty hard-hearted to tell your daddy, yeah, he got eaten by a lion, and which is a lie. Joseph is no more. Simeon is kept in Egypt. And now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me. Everything is against me. Everything, listen, this is totally wrong. Because really, everything is for him. Because what he thought was happening wasn't happening. Joseph was not dead. He's second in command in the greatest empire on the face of the earth. Simeon is not in the hands of dictators. He's in the hands of his brother. And Benjamin going, it's not going to be, it's going to be the best blessing of his life. He's going to get a double portion than anybody else. Amen. And sometimes in your life, listen, sometimes in your life, something will come into your life that will totally, totally unnerve you. But somewhere above there, it's like, how many have Siri at home? You got Siri or Alexa? You got Siri or Alexa at home? Yeah, you do. I know you do. Well, you know, all this can be going down and all this rumble going off. And you can say, Siri, do this or that. And it hears you, even if you got music playing or got, Siri, do this. And above all their screaming and crying, something enters their ear. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. It is I. Lay everything down, would you? I think we've had enough for a day. Lay everything out. Turn the lights down, would you? And I want the prayer team to come on up. If the prayer team, how we do this at the end. And as they are coming, I want to do this. I want you just to close your eyes just for a minute. And I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what storm you're in. I don't know what fear is trying to grab a hold of your life. But I'm going to tell you, there is a God that has been through everything. And these things that come in our lives, they try to take over. They try to torment us. They try to do all they can do. But I want you to remember what God said and what he did in your life. I want you right now to remember a time when it really, really looked hopeless and what God did for you. Set up a memorial. Set up a museum right now. In your memory, and I want you to walk down the museum of your memory right now. Remember when it looked hopeless. Remember when you didn't have enough. Remember when this was happening and that was happening and what God did for you. Oh, but this is different. No. Consider his word. Consider his wonder. Consider what he did in your life. And then remember his word. Remember what he said he was going to do for you. And maybe you're here this morning and you have never, ever come to the place where you've surrendered your life to the Lord. But today might be the very day you've come just for that. And I'm going to tell you, you might have messed your life up in such a way that there may not be any help for you right now until now. Maybe you've been trying to undo and do the best you could. But I'm going to tell you, there is one greater than you. There is one that loves you regardless of what you've done. He will forgive you. and he will cleanse you and he will take your life. And so maybe you're here not by accident today, but God brought you here. And you say, you know, Pastor, my life's in pretty bad shape. And many times that's when you finally stop looking at yourself. You say, I need help. I need help. And if you need help today, if you need, you've never really ever come to the Lord and known the Lord, you knew about him, but you don't know him. I want everybody to pray. We're going to pray with you and we're going to lead you. And you're going to ask the Lord to help and ask the Lord to come in. And if you're at a place where you want to surrender, you want to give your life to God, I want you to pray with us. Everybody pray with me. Say, dear God, I surrender today. My life's in a mess. I need help. Cleanse me, Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. Save me. I reach out to you. Would you do a work in my life? Change me, God. Thank you for dying in my place. I believe you rose again from the dead. I believe you're alive today. Change me in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. And now we're going to do this. I want you to do this. We're going to have prayer teams up here. And when we begin this little song video, you're dismissed today. And but if you want prayer, if you have something that you say, hey, I want prayer. I want to pray. I want to do that. We're going to be up here to pray with you today and love it. So, Father, today we give you the glory. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We acknowledge you as the King of the universe. You have been so, so good to us. And so we trust in you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a good clap off. And would you do that one more time? God.